to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Wayne Majars with you this morning. Father Greg Sackowitz is away, but will be returning soon, I'm sure. Never fear. It is Monday, July 13th. Hope you had a great weekend, and we'll have even, an even better week. And thanks for joining us this morning on Relevant Radio here in Chicago. The numbers are staggering. As you have your first cup of coffee this morning, over 9.5% of Americans are out of work. That translates, my friends, into 14.7 million of us. Since the start of the recession in December of 2007, an additional 7.2 million Americans have lost their jobs. Unemployment rates have exceeded 11% in some states. Teen unemployment rates now over 24%. African Americans over 14.5%. Hispanic Americans over 12%. Now, over the past few months, at least, there seems to be little substantive change in these numbers, despite billions of dollars in stimulus money flowing from Washington trying to stem the tide. Losing one's job can be a traumatic experience. Losing heart in finding the next opportunity can be even more devastating. It's that second portion in particular that is the attention of an upcoming career transitions retreat entitled Finding Work Without Losing Heart, a retreat for women and men in job and career transition. And joining us this morning to talk about the program and what it can do to help individuals who may be looking for work is Al Gustafson. He is a board member of the group Career Transitions Center, and he joins us on the phone this morning. Al, thanks for joining us, and welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you, Wayne. Good morning to you.
Al, you've been at this as part of the Career Transition Center now for some time. Is it any different now as we sit here this morning in the middle of the worst recession since the Great Depression than it has been before, when individuals just run into either a string of bad luck or an economy that is weak a bit and are looking for work?
Well, I've been at this since '94, and if you saw the Chicago Tribune this morning, they quoted a statistic that 29% of people who are unemployed today have been unemployed for more than 6 months. And so what we're seeing at the Career Transition Center and through this retreat is folks who've been out of work for longer periods of time, and that longer period of unemployment is creating greater crisis in their life, often financial crisis. But that translates into family crisis, relationship crisis, health crisis. So before, we were very focused on just helping people get to the next job. Now we're having to deal with food stamps, mortgage issues, and a variety of other needs that people bring to the center as they come looking for help.
So the challenges are clearly greater as the person is away from employment for a longer period of time.
Correct.
Is there, Al, a, for lack of a better description, a healing time that one should take after losing their job, after getting laid off, before they should really roll up their sleeves and begin to look for the next opportunity?
Well, certainly job loss is always named among usually the top three losses we experience. Death, divorce, job loss are all very traumatic losses for us. And I think the job seeker, the last thing you want to do is move right back into the job search when you're still sort of reeling from the pangs of the loss. There could be anger. There's almost always grief. And one needs to sort of be able to be with those emotions a little bit and to use your word, heal from that experience a bit, before you can go out and present your best self to the next potential employer.
So it's almost like it's truly a grieving process.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Like any loss, when you consider the importance of work for for the adult. I mean, we adults need to work like kids need to play. Work gives us a sense of identity and purpose like nothing else does. Not only do we get our paycheck, but we also have an opportunity to use our gifts, to develop our gifts, to be part of a larger community, to hopefully make a difference not only in our company, but in the communities that we work in. And when we lose a job, all that's taken away from us.
Now, is it, Al, or can it be more difficult for someone who may have been in their previous job for an extended period of time, 10 years, 20 years, a long-term employee who really has built up over those years a degree of loyalty, a degree of trust, a real portion of their lives that has been taken up by a dedication or devotion to that particular employer?
Absolutely. Recently, a number of bankers have come through the center, and many of these bankers have been in with the same bank for 10, 15, sometimes more than 20 years. And when you consider that that person, every Monday morning, knew what was expected of them, knew where they were going to show up, had colleagues, had clients who were part of their relationships, their circle that sort of anchored them in the world, for the last 20 years, and all of a sudden that's taken away from them, that's extremely devastating.
Now, should there be a network that an individual sets up? I mean, one of the things that you're going to be talking about, your group in the upcoming seminar, which we'll talk about in more detail a bit later on in the program, is that transition after you've gone through the process of the grieving process, if you will, the letting go process of losing your job. What do you do next? One of the questions that often comes up, and individuals that I'm sure many of us have known that have lost their jobs, should they talk about it? Should they share that grief? Should they share those challenges with their friends, with their associates? I would imagine the answer to that question is yes, yet I would imagine you see a lot of individuals who want to keep it under wraps until they're able to find their next opportunity.
That's true. You know, I'd mentioned when I began this in 1994, there was still sort of a social stigma to being out of work. I certainly think that that has dissipated greatly over the last decade or so, as more people are being separated for reasons that have nothing to do with their performance. So when one finds themselves out of work, yes, it can be difficult to admit that you're not currently employed, but the thing that we tell everyone is that you need to be talking to everyone that you know that potentially could be that person who connects you to the next relationship that helps you find the next job.
Okay, so, and what about for those of us, because as soon as you mentioned that, I thought to myself, oh, I know what you mean, because in the past 7 or 8 months, for sure, I have received calls in my role at Loyola University from a number of individuals whom I've come to know over the years, either students, acquaintances through my university work, who've called me to say, "Hey, I've just gotten laid off. Do you have some time to spend with me to talk about it, to take a look at my resume, to see if there might be opportunities available?" After a while, the person on the other side really begins to feel almost part of that grieving process and overwhelmed by the force and amount of emotion that's out there to try to help others that that certainly are looking for it.
Yes, and I think the person who is looking for those types of networking interviews, those informational interviews, needs to really keep their expectations in line. So if I'm calling you to chat, I certainly want to have an agenda that has realistic expectations. So I'm not necessarily going to you to look for the next job, but I might go to you to talk about the industry. I believe you're in fundraising. Is that right, Wayne?
Yes, in university administration, right.
Right. And so I would be inquiring about the industry, what's going on in that particular industry, what job prospects do you see, how might you help connect me to others that you know, as opposed to coming to you and looking for a specific job.
Okay.
At Loyola.
And I want to pursue something you said, and that is expectations, both of those types of discussions and also expectations of the next opportunity. When we return, you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. My guest is Al Gustafson. He is a board member of the Career Transition Center, and it's 9:09 in the morning. We'll be right back.
and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Mawusi, a retreat for anyone who ministers in Black Catholic communities, means in the hand of God. Mawusi is designed especially for men and women, religious, lay ministers, deacons, catechists, RCIA leaders, lectors, and youth ministers. This retreat is a time for catechetical and spiritual formation, transformation, inspiration, and relaxation. Come and experience the richness of African American spirituality and culture. The Mawusi retreat will be held Friday, July 24th to Sunday, July 26th at the Techne Towers Retreat Center, 2001 Waukegan Road in Techne, Illinois. For more information, contact the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry at 312-534-8040. That's 312-534-8040 to register for the Mawusi retreat.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio, 950 AM on a Monday morning in Chicago. I'm Wayne Magyars. My guest is Al Gustafson. He is a board member of the Career Transitions Center, which is an independent, non-for-profit organization that serves people in job or career transitions. And we're talking about some of the challenges that a growing number of unemployed individuals face, not only in coming to terms with their unemployment, but also trying to identify the next opportunity, the next job to find meaningful work. And Al, one of the things you mentioned before the break was the idea of expectations. And setting expectations, I would imagine, especially when it comes to the type of opportunity that I will find next, the type of job that I will be able to secure, is really important in this transitional process.
That's absolutely correct. And I think one of the two things, really, Wayne. One is that there's just a sense of being out of control when you're in transition and looking for work. And certainly the goal is to find the next full-time job. But in large part, that's out of your control. And so what I think serves the job seeker best is to create some goals for themselves or to create expectations for themselves that they can be in control of. So whether that be doing a certain number of phone calls a week, trying to schedule a certain number of informational interviews, making sure my resume is in line, having a goal for my resume this week, whatever that case may be, but to create expectations and goals for yourself that you can have some control of and get progress moving. Now, the other big expectation that really people tend to struggle with, that we see a lot of folks who are 45 to 60 and who have been making a good salary, and face the reality that perhaps they'll never be able to find a job at that past salary. So not only are they dealing with expectations around when's the next job coming, but they also have lifestyle expectations that they now have to revise.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask it. I would imagine it's more important for some than for others to put the salary issue closer or further to the bottom of the list when it comes to priorities or expectations. On the other hand, for some, I would imagine it's more important to find some opportunity to again be contributing back productively to the workforce than it is to have nothing at all. Is that a fair assessment of kind of where the spectrum lies?
That is a very fair assessment of where the spectrum lies. And I think for those folks who have been out of work a longer period of time that we mentioned earlier and have a mortgage due, they're finding that, you know, sadly, a lot of people are having to sell their condos, sell their homes, and find different housing options just because maybe they can take a job, but it's $10 or $12 or $14 an hour, and they've been making in the six figures.
Yeah.
And so it's a huge lifestyle shift, and revising expectations is really part of the difficulty for many, many people who are out of work these days.
Yeah, Alan, especially in an economy like we are experiencing now, there are a whole list of euphemisms for getting to be, if I may be crass, fired, temporarily laid off, on furlough. Should an employee take the label that has been assigned to their particular termination of employment into consideration when looking for the next opportunity? For example, factory worker temporarily laid off for 60 days or 90 days, but no guarantee, with the potential of actually coming back at some point in the future when business improves. Should that change the kind of the strategy for someone who's in a career transition or not?
I'm not quite sure I follow you, Wayne.
For someone who's been temporarily laid off, for example, as opposed to someone who may be permanently terminated, should there be a different strategy?
Oh, yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, I think you always have to deal with the expectations of, and does it look like I'm going to be reemployed in 60 days? I think unemployment plays a big marker. Some people have a severance package, other people don't. So I think all of that has to be considered in terms of your strategy and what you want to ultimately take or not take in terms of the next job. So if I have a severance package or I have unemployment, I have a little bit of a cushion and I have a little bit more time to work with. If I've run out of unemployment and I'm eating into my savings, well, then I may have to take a job just to get some income that may not be my ideal job.
Okay. Now, for more than a decade, there have been a number of individuals throughout the Midwest who have credited your Finding Work retreat with really helping them gain greater insight, a new perspective, and in many cases, resolve toward finding their next opportunity. One of the things that you talk about, as we mentioned earlier, were the various stages of transition. But let's talk a little bit more about what an individual coming to the next retreat, which is scheduled for Wednesday and Thursday, March. Is that right? March? No, it can't be March 4 and 5.
It'll be July. July 28th and 29th.
July 28th and 29th. What they will experience as part of this retreat?
Sure. It might be easy to begin with what the retreat is not. The retreat's not about putting a resume together or being more effective on an interview or learning how to negotiate your next salary. What the retreat is really an opportunity to assess some of the deeper psychological and spiritual dimensions that almost always accompany a job transition. As we mentioned before, job loss is such a significant loss to us that it cracks many of us open, and we start asking those deeper questions of who am I, you know, what really matters to me, where is God in all of this? And so we spend 2 days really assessing some of those deeper questions that are always present in the transitions of our lives.
Okay, and I want to pursue a lot of the issues that come into play when we talk about the psychological and the spiritual part of all this. When we return, Al Gustafson is a board member with the group called Career Transition Center, and you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update. Online registration is now being accepted for this two-day celebration of our faith, scheduled for the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont on October 16th and 17th. Go to www.catholicfest.org to register and to learn about the speakers, activities, and entertainment being planned. That's www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, August 22nd at St. Francis of Rome, 1500 South 59th Court in Cicero. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, Monday, July 13, talking about the upcoming retreat, Finding Work Without Losing Heart, a retreat for women and men in job and career transition with Al Gustafson, who is a board member of the Career Transitions Center, who is putting on the program coming up on July 28th and 29th. Al, one of the parts of this retreat, as you mentioned, is really focusing on the psychological and the spiritual issues that individuals confront when transitioning to a new job. And you've got a number of speakers that are going to be slated as part of this retreat that really bring to the table real life experience. In other words, they either have been or are still in the same predicament that many of the retreat attendees may be as well. That's really important to get your head kind of back in order on the psychological side of things when you're confronting job loss, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we were never really schooled in is transition and how we move through a transition in our lives. We begin the retreat by giving people a framework to understand what's happening to them. So, for example, all transitions begin with an ending. Something ends in our life, you know, whether it be a relationship. In this case, it's a job. And the more attached we were to what ended, the more profound our grieving is going to be. Well, transitions begin with an ending, but they end with a new beginning. And in this case, hopefully it's going to be a new job. But between the ending and the new beginning, there's what we call liminal space, or Bill Bridges called it the neutral zone. And it's a time that's very, very painful. It's often fraught with a lot of anxiety and depression, and not clinical depression, but just a sense of lacking energy or lacking ambition or motivation. But as painful and as difficult as this neutral zone is, there's also great potential here for creativity and for new life. One of the images that we use in the retreat is the Chinese character for crisis, where we certainly consider job loss a crisis in our lives. But the Chinese use two characters to name crisis, one pain and the other opportunity. So throughout the retreat, We do our best to name the pain, because there's certainly a lot of pain that accompanies job loss. But on the other hand, we also want to name the opportunity and the potential for creativity and new life that this transition could invite us to.
And the other piece of this is the spiritual side, and that is really grounding oneself in their faith. And you have a number of faith traditions that are represented as part of this this retreat every year. But tell us a little bit about how spirituality, how prayer becomes a part of this exercise.
Well, you know, I mean, what we experience when we're in transition, Wayne, is the Paschal Mystery. It's Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. the experience of job loss is a Good Friday experience, right? We're in the tomb. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a death that sends us to the tomb. And we're waiting for Easter Sunday. We're waiting for the resurrection to new life. But most of the transition is experienced in Holy Saturday, in the darkness of the tomb. And, you know, the church, in its wisdom, on Holy Saturday, takes all the images of God out of the sanctuary. And for many people, when they're in that space in their transition, where they're between the ending and the new beginning, it feels like God is absent from their life.
Yeah.
And so we, when we are in transition, are living the Paschal Mystery, and it becomes real for us. And so what we invite people to do is to pray out of that experience, to pray out of the experience of the Paschal Mystery. And we honor a lot of different faith traditions because the people that attend the retreat come from different faith traditions. And so many are Christian, but not all. And even within the Christians, people are coming from different denominations and have different ways of talking about their experience of God. So one of the things that we say right up at front, it's the line from Al-Anon, which is, take what you want, take what's helpful, and leave the rest.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned, people are going to be telling their own stories about how God has been supportive to them, or perhaps how they felt abandoned by God. And so as you listen to other people's stories, sometimes the language resonates and is very helpful. Other times it doesn't. But again, what we advise people to do is take what's helpful and leave the rest.
Yeah.
We all come from different traditions.
And that's a very helpful analogy, Al, because I am to the Catholic, to the Christian, many Christian denominations. I mean, the idea of looking at this whole process as really a reliving of the Easter Triduum is something that we can all relate to. It's something that we can all understand from a theological perspective and really use it to help us through the process of finding work. And the key is, I think, in your program is without losing heart. And that's really the center of what you're all about. We have just about a minute left, and I want to make sure that we have an opportunity for a little more information about where the retreat is, cost, and information on individuals out there this morning who might be interested in attending and how they can register.
Thank you, Wayne. The retreat is at the Bellarmine Hall. It's the Bellarmine Retreat Center. It's the Jesuit Retreat Center in Barrington, Illinois. The date is July 28th and 29th. It's a Tuesday and Wednesday. It's an overnight experience. The cost is $95. It actually cost us $150 per participant, but we ask for $95, but we turn no one away based on financial need. So if $95 is too much of a stretch for anyone, then they pay what they can.
Okay.
If you're interested in registering, probably the easiest way is to call 312-906-9908, which is the number for the Career Transition Center, and they're handling all the registration, and you can get additional information there.
Great. That telephone number again is 312-906-9908, and your website for additional information is www.ctcchicago, one word, .org, right? www.ctcchicago.org. Al Gustafson, thanks very much for being with us this morning. Continued good luck with your work and with the retreat coming up on July 28th and 29th. And God bless you on all the good work you do with the Career Transition Center.
Thank you very much for having me, Wayne.
Thanks for joining us this morning. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It is 9:29 in the morning,
and we'll be right back.
Or 30s, adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing their gifts in many ways.
Whatever their situation, however connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's an opportunity for them to
meet good people their own age,
to deepen their faith and spirituality,
to make connections between faith and everyday life,
and explore the things that matter most.
It's an opportunity for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they, in turn, can pass it along to their children.
We encourage you to personally invite every young adult you know to Theology on Tap. It begins July 12th at 42 locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to the program on a Monday morning, 9:31 in Chicago. Wayne Madjar is from Loyola University. And this morning for Father Greg Sackowitz, who is away, but he'll be with us again later this week. The Catholic Church Extension Society is the leading supporter of missionary work right here in the United States. While many of us aren't aware that while the Catholic Church is involved in missionary work all over the world, there's also a lot of work to be done right here at home. Catholic Church Extension Society, since 1905, has raised and distributed more than $250 million in aid to small and struggling parishes here in the U.S. across about 40 of the 50 states. Their work includes church building, religious and seminary education, campus ministry, and tending to the spiritual needs of needy mission communities. At the helm of this huge effort is one of the great priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Its president, Father Jack Wall, and Father Wall has led extensions since March of 2007, and also, of course, many of you probably know him as the former pastor of Old St. Patrick's Church in the West Loop. Father Wall, good morning and welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Wayne. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, first of all, I got to ask you, how was the block party this past weekend?
Oh, boy, we did it again. The weather was beautiful and the crowds were wonderful, and it's always a great summer event.
That was a terrific effort, and we were talking before the program this morning that I remember it when it started 25 years ago when I was still working in the radio business at Loyola University, and we were one of a few handful of radio stations that broadcast from the block party. But it and its growth over the past several years are certainly a testimony to the fine work that you and Father Hurley and Father Cusack and others have done in Old St. Pat's and really building up a tremendous faith community in the West Loop. So congratulations.
Thanks very much, Wayne.
Now to Extension. You've been about this work since March of 2007. How's it going? Where do you start in prioritizing a plethora of needs that must come to Catholic Extension Society over the course of a year?
Wayne, you know, the beautiful thing about the work of Extension is it really gets right at the heart of the gospel. And the gospel is what we just heard Sunday in the scriptures, Jesus sending us out into the world and saying, be a source of good news. You know, try to let people know this powerful reality of the goodness of their life, the sacredness of their life, and God's dream for every human being, and to try to bring that message to the poorest places in the world. I want good news given to the poor is what the gospel message is all about, and Extension is there to try to really make that happen in the poorest communities of the United States.
And that's really a piece of it that I'm glad you started with that, because that's a piece that we sometimes lose in looking at organizations, Catholic Extension, Catholic Charities and others, and trying to reduce it to numbers of dollars spent in various areas. But it's about evangelization. It's about spreading the gospel. It's about going to communities that, but not for Extension, would not have these types of opportunities.
And that's really true. One of the realities is there's 400 counties in the United States in which there is no resident priest or religious or lay pastoral leader. And there's 250 of those dioceses doesn't even have a church in it, a church structure. So it's a reality. And my belief, and this is something that goes all the way back to my early days at St. Pat's, is the church is a mission-driven institution. It's not a member-centered institution, and we're out there to try to be sources of God's transforming work in the world. And this and message basically is make sure the poor have good news expressed to them and to that they may know the good news of their own life.
Is the need growing from what you see?
It is. When this started 100 years ago, it was in very small rural communities. But with the changing demographics of the United States, there are literally tens of thousands of people that really are not in different counties that are not meeting the needs of the church and the dream that we have for, they're faith-filled people. They're rich in faith. They're rich in family values. They're rich in work ethic, but they just don't have the opportunity to celebrate church as we often do in larger urban areas.
Give us an example, Father Wall, of how the connection is made in a rural community where, as you point out, there may not be a church building, but there is a faith community. How do they make the connection with Extension, and then how do you go about really plugging in to do your work?
There's 190-plus dioceses in the United States. 80 of them are considered dioceses that do not have sufficient resources to really do church well. They can't really provide excellence in church. So it really comes from the dioceses themselves coming to us and saying, we have these basic needs, and can you help us? And Catholic Extension is basically a lay movement. It's 50, 60, 70,000 Catholics who every year, in a very personal way, reach out and try to touch these dioceses, and the Extension Society is the conduit out of which we're able to reach people who are really poor and really in need through their generosity to Extension and then through us to the diocese in need.
Is that need in the conscious minds of the faithful, would you say, overall in the U.S.? I mean, we hear a lot about missionary work in foreign countries, in Africa, in other parts of the Middle East, of Europe, but we really don't hear about those needs that are right in our own backyard. And I'm staggered by the number of dioceses across the U.S. that are considered less than sustainable, if I can use that word. Growing up in Chicago, growing and going to other large markets and other large archdioceses and dioceses, we tend to think that if it has a bishop, if it has a geographic area, it's okay, and it's really not.
Absolutely, it's not.
Yeah.
And you could probably take all of those 80 dioceses and look in terms of the resourcing of those dioceses just financially, not talking about human resources and everything like that, and it probably wouldn't touch one large diocese in the United States in terms of support.
There's the financial, but there's also the human, the personal time, talent, and efforts that go beyond that go into doing all of your work. That network of volunteers and individuals who really contribute to Extension has got to be massive to manage. That's part of your work, right?
That is, and we try to connect as deeply as we can through communication of what those needs are with our constituents, these wonderful people who have been our donors for many, many years and many new donors. And that's one of the hopes of our telephone call, the call-ins today and our show today is the opportunity for people to know a little bit more about what we're doing. We have a wonderful magazine that we put out. We have a great website, www.catholicextension.org, that we hope can continue to be a source of information about the needs here in the American community.
One of the things you talk about in the vision statement is something called excellent church, and I want to pursue that and talk a little bit about the dimensions of excellent church and how it works with the mission and vision of Catholic Extension Society. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It is 9:39 in the morning. My guest is Father Jack Wall, who is the president of the Catholic Church Extension Society, and we'll be right back.
The Chicago Catholic Scripture School is now accepting applications for classes starting in September throughout the Archdiocese. This is our Bible study program for adults. Students come together weekly to pray and study the Word of God with teachers who are themselves strong Catholics with an extensive background in Scripture and theology. Year 1 classes will be held at St. Anne's in Barrington, St. Joseph in Libertyville, St. Julie Billiard in Tinley Park, St. Teresa of Avila in Lincoln Park, and St. Philip Neri in the South Shore neighborhood. There will be a Year 1 class in Spanish at St. Cecilia in Mount Prospect and Precious Blood on Chicago's west side. And our first Scripture School in Polish will be held at St. Hyacinth Basilica. For more information or to register for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, visit www.catechesis-chicago.org or call 312-534-8053, that's 312-534-8053, and www.catechesis-chicago.org.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
And welcome back to the show. We're talking with Father Jack Wall, who is the president of the Catholic Church Extension Society on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Father Wall, one of the things that is mentioned in the vision and mission of Extension is this idea of excellent church. What do you mean by that?
You know, my dream for anybody in the United States and for every parish is that the experience of church that we share is one that really deepens a sense of faith for everybody that's part of that community. So it's meant to deepen our sense of our oneness with God, and from that place of presence of God's life and spirit within us, that it drives us out to be sources of transformation in the world. And that so there's this experience of communion with God in order that we might build community in the world. And I think everybody needs to have that, you know, and it's done through our prayer, through our efforts to bond with each other in community, through the efforts to reach out from parish life into the world in which we live. And so it's communion and mission. That's where excellence is. It's when you really build experiences that deepen people's oneness with God and with each other, and then that sense of really going out in the to do the God's work in the world, which is basically transforming.
And the other piece of it that you mentioned is really building leaders. The ability to go into a community of need, a faith community of need, and nurture that leadership so at some point Extension could go away or at least loosen the grip a bit on that area and, in effect, start up a whole new vibrant faith community that is going to be able to sustain itself.
Wayne, this is huge. And Bishop Kakanis, who is a Chicago priest who's now Bishop of Tucson, which is one of our mission dioceses, wrote a beautiful statement from the USCCB, the Conference of Bishops, called Co-Workers in the Vineyard, that we're all called to be sources of this evangelization and that it's a collaborative effort. And so we do need priests, we do need religious, we need lay leadership that would rise and take responsibility for the future of church. Church is a communal effort. We're all meant to do it together. And leadership is critical in every dimension. And so much of the reality of these mission dioceses is they do not have sufficient leadership.
Yeah. And that leadership typically comes from within, or in some cases is it necessary to relocate individuals from the outside?
It's both and. It's obviously you're hoping to raise as much leadership from within as you can be, but part of the function of a mission diocese is that there is need to have people reach out. One of the beautiful programs, I know you're involved in Loyola, is so many young Catholics graduating from college are looking to give a couple of years of their life in service in the poorest communities. And throughout all the Catholic universities and campus ministries, more and more people are saying, would you give a year or two of your life in service? Many of them end up overseas, but through the many programs, volunteer programs that are going on, more and more young adults are doing that. We just had a mission talk at Old St. Pat's yesterday, and it was a young woman that graduated from Notre Dame, spent a couple of years in Texas, and now it has transformed her life. She wants to work in church ministry the rest of her life. A young laywoman just beautifully touched by the work of home missions.
And, you know, over, I'm ashamed to admit it, 27-plus years at Loyola, I have seen, especially of late, over the past 5 to 8 years, an incredible sense of commitment to service on the part of especially the undergraduate student population. It's no longer cool to graduate and necessarily go right into the workplace. The idea of Jesuit Volunteer Corps, the idea of going abroad for a year to really immerse oneself in service has become almost, although not yet quite, an expectation of or a part of the roadmap to success in a career to be able to have that experience. Have you seen that among the younger folks that get involved in Extension?
Absolutely, and it reaches even into the high school and teen years as well. I can't believe how many people are really seeing this commitment to serving others is at the heart of it. You know, the Pew study recently on religion in the United States, it studied the Catholic Church, found out that if you want to find out the thing that really brings Catholics together, the two things that we most identify with as Catholics, and this is kind of what the sociologists say when they do all these research, they said it's belief in the Eucharist, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and belief in reaching out to the poor. And Mother Teresa said it so powerfully. She said, I believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and I believe in the real presence of Christ in the poor. And that's what I think young people in a very powerful way are doing. And that's what Extension is. It's trying to build up these experiences of church, this sense of communion with God and with one another, and this sense of mission. We can't be church unless we're reaching out beyond ourselves. We can't be parochial in our church experience.
And something else you mentioned before was this idea of intellectual capital. And in some cases, it's not writing a check, or it's not necessarily spending time. It's contributing to the intellectual landscape and what it takes to actually do much of the work that Extension is involved in. And I would imagine especially students, college students, undergraduate, graduate students who go out and give of service, bring that intellectual capital to an extent to a lot of the work, right?
Absolutely. And it's also institutions reaching out. I was shocked to find out that the catechists in Fairbanks, Alaska are being trained in catechetical training programs through long-distance learning with Boston College. And so the ability of universities to reach out to places where there are no universities, where there are no seminaries, where there are no institutions of higher learning and training in formational programs is a very powerful gift to what we're trying to do. And we're trying to create these kind of networks with Catholic institutions as well as Catholic individuals across the country.
Is there an amount of time that Extension would be involved in a particular area, Father Wall, or does it really run the gamut before a particular area that was considered, a mission diocese really becomes self-sustaining?
You know, it's a flowing thing. There's some places that probably will always be poor. They're just so remote and isolated, and they just don't have enough resources to be able to bring up that sense of sustainability on their own. Then there are others that start in poverty and move up because of all kinds of reasons, sometimes shifting demographics, which bring more Catholics to a community than they once were. And then there are places that have been densely Catholic who start to become depopulated, places in the Northeast that you would never think of, who are now beginning to see themselves as mission dioceses. So it's a flowing thing, and a lot of it is driven by demographics.
Talking about the Catholic Church Extension Society with its president, Father Jack Wall, on Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll be right back after a short break.
Watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Would you like to discuss faith-based issues with Cardinal George and other archdiocesan leaders? Stick around. We'll tell you about our newly launched blog. We'll visit with two organizers of the Catholic Festival of Faith and tell you how to register for this wonderful October event. And Catholic school children put their artistic talents to good use by drawing anti-drug messages. These stories and more are coming your way in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Catholic Charities' 12th Annual Golf Invitational will be held this year on July 22nd at Cog Hill in Lamont, Illinois. This year, players will have the chance to golf on the newly renovated Dubs Dread course. Contest holes will be spread throughout the day to challenge players, including a contest to outdrive Sister Marianne Dosen, a nun with a great swing, and chances to meet local celebrities, including former White Sox player Ron Kittle. This year, more than ever, families are turning to Catholic Charities in their time of need. Your participation in the Golf Invitational can help a family prevent homelessness after losing a job or feed their family if they're having trouble making ends meet. All proceeds go to benefit Catholic Charities Family Services programs. Book your foursome today by calling 312-948-6797. That's 312-948-6797. For more information, visit us on the web at www.catholiccharities.net.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 952 in the morning. Wayne Magyar is with you for Father Greg Sackwitz today. And my guest is Father Jack Wall, one of the outstanding priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago, who also is the president of the Catholic Church Extension Society, among a variety of other things that I'm sure you do and continue to be involved in for the good of the local church. And Father Wall, one of the other kinds of mission dioceses that Extension works with are those that, because while there's a large percentage of Catholics, there may be, because of either ethnic or racial makeup, a sense of isolation that's created that has really formed, in effect, a community of need that Extension can reach out and help. Give us an idea of what that means and how you work with a group like that.
One of the things that we just discovered was that counties in the United States in which there is greater poverty are often counties in which the population is a minority population. And when you look at the counties across the United States that are that type of a county, they're all in home mission dioceses. And so we realize that what we really are dealing with so much is really poverty. Some places, the Catholic population is very small, but in other places, the Catholic population is quite large. There are dioceses in the United States where the percent of priest to Catholic is 8,000 and 9,000, 1 to 8,000 and 9,000. Oh. And so there's huge places in the United States that we're serving in which there's a large Catholic population, but it's basically poor. And so we're trying to figure out ways to be especially responsive there. Obviously, priests are important, but those, because of their poverty, then they can't have the richness of lay leadership as well. So we're trying to help support those populations as well. But they're rich in faith, and they're rich in family values. These are not poor people in terms of their faith. It's just, how do we continue to nurture that faith and strengthen that faith?
And that strength of faith is 80% of the work. Would you agree that if those roots are down, it makes the work of Extension, be it financial support or personal support or intellectual capital support, that much more doable?
You know, that's very important what you said, Wayne. You know, we're not Catholic Charities. We're not Catholic Relief Services. We are about building up communities of faith. And we believe that one of the greatest gifts you can give to the country, and to the future of the church is to create very, very strong communities of faith. I think every one of us in our family history can reach back to places at times when we were very poor in our ancestry, and the gift of the church meant everything to us. Without church, we would not be sitting across this table from each other because of the gift that church gave us in terms of taking our gifts and bringing them forth for the future of the church and the world.
You are quoted in a recent edition of the Extension Society magazine as saying, quote, "We are at a critical moment in the American church. Clearly, this is not a time for maintenance, but mission." And that mission of tending to the work of extension in the various dioceses throughout the country who look to you for that spiritual growth and nurturing can only be done with money. And the donor and philanthropic efforts of extension are critical to your work. Talk a little bit about that.
Again, reaching back to the gospel yesterday, Jesus sends his disciples out two by two. He said, go out two by two. Well, I see Catholic Extension and the many, many donors that have volunteered their commitment to us through their great generosity as the other disciple. So if you're going to have missioners, you have to have people out there trying to really stir this God life in the lives of people who perhaps don't see it or don't experience it as deeply as they want, but they need that partner in mission. Extension is that partner, and Extension is people like us who say, I'd like to bring forth a little bit of my own generosity to help a missioner, to partner with a missioner in our country. And so that's our great dream, to expand the number. We have 62 million Catholics in the United States. If everybody did a part, if every community said we'd like to make this as one of our priorities to help the home missions. You know, we got that great hymn, God Bless America. Well, the Catholic Church is meant to be God's blessing to America, and the way we do it is by raising up these wonderful communities of faith in the poorest places of our country.
And we can't cover it all in 30 minutes, but you have a terrific website that talks not only about the wide areas that Extension works in and the types of work that it does, but the web address for those who want to learn more is www.catholicextension.org. That's CATHOLICEXTENSION.org. And you can find out about mission, about the areas in which Extension is working, and also ways to contribute, including online, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, as you shape the future of Extension Society, what do you see looking into your crystal ball for the future?
Well, my dream is that when people think about what it is to be Catholic and to be a mission-driven Catholic, they'd see the needs to do that in their own parish, their own diocese, the world in which we live that's constantly calling for more and more partnership, and not to pass up the needs of building up the Catholic community in the United States. We have been done so well throughout the years of creating good Catholic Church in the among the poorest people. And from that place, powerful things have happened. We're not bringing God anywhere. God is present in these communities of people. What we're doing is trying to help people come to know that presence of God within them and the gift that they are to us. And we don't want to leave anybody's gift on the table.
It's about missioning and commissioning, right?
Very
because
good.
You're really, and if you use that, I'm going to charge you. Because that's if there's one theme that has kind of come out of your comments this morning, is that it's important to use ecumenism, use evangelize, but also commission folks to carry on after you're gone.
And it's a powerful thing to be that kind of a Catholic that says, you know, we really understand that what this is all about is celebrating the presence of God in us and becoming that gift to others. So,
Father Jack Wall, best of luck in your continued great leadership of the Catholic Church Extension Society, and thanks for joining us this morning. The web address again is www.catholicextension.org. And that is Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM for this Monday morning. My special thanks to Diane Dunnigan, our producer for the program, Javier Garcia, and I think Michael May is hiding around there somewhere, our two engineers for the program this morning. Have a terrific week, and God bless.
The
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.